Then with me to the chapter we read together, Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. And we might take our reading from verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And I would like to spend some time this evening considering the words at the end of verse 11, where the Holy Spirit writes, Christ is all and in all. To the Corinthians, in his first letter, the Apostle Paul writes, we preach Christ crucified. To the Corinthians, he said that his only ambition was to know Christ. To the Colossians, he refers that Christ deserved to have the preeminence. So why Jesus is so central in the ministry of Paul? Why was the Apostle Paul and the other apostles with him so Christ-centered in the ministry, in the preaching? Their writings are full of Jesus. They call themselves Christians. It seems that the religion of the New Testament is all centered on Christ. Why? Why it's all about Jesus? And I believe the Apostle Paul gives us here in this verse the answer. Why are you always preaching Jesus? Why are you always witnessing about Jesus? Why are you following Jesus? Why are you always concerned and keen to worship and praise this Jesus? The Apostle Paul tells us why. Christ is all and in all. Christ is all, is everything. And therefore, if he's all, if he's everything, we're always talking about him, always preaching him, always worshipping him. So when we read this, Christ is all and in all, what can we learn? What does it mean? It means that Christ is all we need for justification. Christ is all and in all. Christ is all you and I need to be right with God. It's not that we need church practices, church attendance, church worship. What we need, the only thing that we need to be right with God, is Jesus. It's not doing things, it's not believing things, but the only way, all we need to be right with God, is Jesus. It is not trying to be right with him. It's not living upright lives that will make us right with God. All we need to be right with God, all we need to have the forgiveness of our sins, all we need to be acknowledged by God as right, is Jesus. It's Jesus. If you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you receive Jesus in your heart, as your Redeemer, as your God and Master, if you have Christ, if you trust in him for redemption, you have all you need to be right with God. Your righteousness will never make you right with God. Your church attendance, though it's good, your Bible reading, very good. Your prayers, very good. All these things are important and have their place, but these things in themselves will never make you right with God, will never make you acceptable before God, will never open the kingdom of God for you. All you need and all I need to be saved, all I need to be right, all I need to be free from guilt is Jesus Christ. For Christ is all and in all. We are preachers of grace. Christian preachers are preachers of good news. Not of the law, but of a good news. And this good news is that if you have Christ, you are right with God. All you need to be just, all you need to be justified, all you need to be at peace with God, all you need to be saved, is none but Jesus. None but Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, Christ is all. Christ is not part of your salvation. Christ is all of your salvation. You don't need Christ and something else. You don't need Christ and good works. You don't need Christ and the church. You don't need Christ and the sacraments. Christ is all you need to be right with God. So do you want to be free from guilt? Do you want to be free from sin? Do you want God to be declaring you right in His presence? Do you want to go to heaven at last? All you need. So all we need is Jesus. Secondly, Christ is all we need for reconciliation. Christ is all we need for reconciliation. And when we talk of reconciliation, there are two kinds of reconciliation here. One is to be at peace with God, to be reconciled with God. All we need to be reconciled with God is Jesus. Your works will never make God on your side. Your works will never make God happy with you and satisfied with you. Your good works will never make you a friend of God. What you need to be reconciled with God is Jesus. Jesus alone can reconcile the world with God. Jesus alone can turn away the anger and wrath of God. Jesus alone can satisfy divine justice. Jesus alone can make you a friend of God. So all you need to be reconciled with God is not to belong to the right church. It is not to believe purity of worship. What you need is Jesus. If you want to be a friend with God, what you need is none but Jesus. The Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. We saw this last Sunday. We considered this, that reconciliation is founded, grounded, possible in Christ. So all you need to be at peace with God, to have God not as your judge and destroyer, but as your God and Father, is Jesus. If you have Jesus, God is not against you, but with you. And so the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, he says, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God is with us, on our side, reconciled with us, if God is our defender, is our God, no one can be against us. And how can be God with us? Is there anything I can do to get God on my side? Will I do some work, some penitence? What will I do? All you need to be reconciled with God is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ. And you might have wonderful theology in your mind. You might be very active in the things of the church and in the things of God. If you don't have Jesus, you are not reconciled with God. But also, to be reconciled with man. In our text, it's very interesting that before Paul says Christ is all and in all, he refers to the new man as neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free. But Christ is all in all. Where do tensions come from? Why there is so much tensions among churches, among Christians? What is dividing us? I believe when we give too much importance to the details of the Christian faith, when we make certain things to be our all, when we make some singing our all in all, when we make baptism to be our all in all, when we make the gift of the Spirit to be our all in all, when we make Presbyterian church government or to be a free church and a free Presbyterian our all in all, is going to divide us. If we believers start to make Christ to be the center and circumference of our lives, we won't have many reasons to be upset one another. If Jesus is all we have, if Jesus is all we are talking about, if Jesus is all we preach, the church will be more united, more focused, more centered. Sadly, some of us are Greeks, and some of us are Jews, some of us are slaves, some of us are free. Why? Because Christ is not our all. We have taken away Jesus from the center stage. Christ is not so central in our personal life and in our life as a church as it should be. We have taken something else and put something else in the place of Christ. And this divides us, divides the church of Jesus, divides the brethren. Do we want to be more united? Do we want to be able to love our brethren more? Let's put Christ first. And later on, the Apostle Paul speaks of following the example of Christ. If someone does something wrong to you, like Christ forgave you, so you must do. The Apostle Paul turns to Jesus all the time. He refers to Christ as the example to follow. In Philippians chapter 2, you have the Apostle trying to encourage the people in Philippi to say, follow the example of Jesus. Honor the other more than yourself. Give to the other glory and humble yourself like Jesus did for you. If we follow the example of Christ, if we give to Christ the preeminence, if we center our conversation, our discussion, our fellowship, our Christian life on Christ, we'll have less reasons to fight with our brethren. If we are not always talking about infant baptism or adult baptism, we won't be fighting on these matters. If we are talking about the beauty of Christ, the glory of Christ, the work of Christ, we won't have much time to fight on smaller things. Now, don't take me wrong. We must have some understanding of the Bible in these issues. But let's not give to these things the place that belongs to Christ. Christ is all we need for justification. Christ is all we need for reconciliation. Thirdly, Christ is all we need for adoption. The Bible refers to the Christians as God's children. Jesus encourages his disciples to refer to God in prayer as our Father who art in heaven. The Apostle Paul says to the Romans that through the work of the Spirit, we are able to cry, Abba, Father, which is a very intimate way to call God our own Father. But how is it that I can become a child of God? How is it that a child of the devil, like I am, is received into God's family? My works? Because I asked for? Is it because the church gave me such a right? Is it because of baptism? Paul says to the Galatians, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. How is it that we have received the adoption as sons? Through Christ. The only way for us to be the children of God is in Jesus. Without Jesus, we'll always be enemies of God. So in Christ, we can be the children of God. And Jesus is all we need to become the sons and daughters of the living God. To be able to call God your Father, you don't need a spiritual experience. You don't need miraculous things happening to you. All you need to call God your Father is to have Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because in Jesus, in his merit, in his righteousness, you can be a child of God. John chapter 1 in his gospel, he refers to adoption. And he refers that as something that comes from the Lord. As many as received him, who is Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Who has the right? Who has the authority to become a child of God? Those who receive Jesus. Those who believe on Jesus. Those who have Christ. They have in Christ the right to be called the children of God. So if you want the highest privilege that a man will ever receive, all you need is Jesus. Can you see how different is our Christianity from the Christianity of the Bible? Very often we try to gain God's blessing. Too often we try to win and to merit God's pleasure and God's salvation. Too often we try to conquer God and make him happy to be our Father. It will never work. The only way for us to receive something from God is in Jesus. All the privileges, all the spiritual blessings, all the heavenly blessings come to us from God through Jesus. And all you need to be blessed is Jesus Christ. All you need to be called a son of God, a child of God, a daughter of God, is Jesus Christ. There is a song, a Christian song, that I used to listen very often. It's a song which is based on a Puritan prayer. I don't know if you know the book, The Value Vision, from the Banner of Truth. These are prayers from the Puritans. And a CD was made using some of these prayers. And there's one song which is really, really moving to me. And it praised, it pleased God. And what he asked is for Jesus. Give me Jesus. Because he is our all and in all. Christ is all we need for justification. Christ is all we need for reconciliation. Christ is all we need for adoption. Christ is all we need for sanctification. At the beginning of the chapter, the Apostle Paul is encouraging and exhorting and commanding the believers to give away the things of this world, to renounce the things of time and to fix their eyes upward, to forget the things of now and think about eternity, to live as new men. He commands them to abandon their old sins, their old practice, things that displease God, and encourages them to live holy lives, to be faithful and obedient to God and his law. And in this context, at the end of all this, he says, but Christ is all and in all. How is it that we can be holy? What is the secret for sanctification? Why do we fail so much in our walk with the Lord? Where is that we are wrong? That we try to do the work of Christ ourselves. The way for us to be holy, the way for us to pursue sanctification and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord, it is Jesus. All we need, friends, to be holy is Jesus. His holiness imputed to us. His holiness to be our example. His holiness, his help, his spirit. It's all about him. What we need, friends, to be holy is for the Spirit of Christ enabling us to be holy. It's for the Spirit of Christ to create in our hearts a desire for holiness and strength for holiness. We need the Spirit of Christ to create the will and the ability to do what is right before God. What we need to be holy, friends, is to follow the example of Christ. To do what Jesus did. To be holy, friends, is to be like Christ. And very often we try to be holy, obeying certain rules and keeping certain things in our lives. We make sanctification, we make holiness, simply doing certain things, obeying certain rules and certain regulations. And we forget that to be holy is more than that. To be holy is to be like Jesus. We are not on our own in this matter. All we need, friends, to be holy with God is Jesus. If we follow Jesus, if we live like Jesus, if we depend on Jesus, if we walk according to the strength that the Spirit of Jesus gives to us, if Christ is our strength, if Christ is our all in all, we will be holier than what we are. Friends, we need to change our approach in our Christian life, beginning with me. Too often, it's all about us. We try and look for strength in ourselves. We try to consecrate ourselves, to dedicate ourselves, to sacrifice, to give away certain things, and we fail. There is no holiness within us. And there is no strength within us to be holy. All we need to be able to give away our sins and to live holy lives is Jesus Christ. His strength, his spirit, his example. But also Christ is all we need for glorification. Glorification is the last step of our salvation. We tend to think, I was saved the 21st of January, whatever. We think that that is the moment I was saved. In a sense, it is true, but strictly speaking, you are not fully saved yet. You are still full of sin in your heart. You are still just free from the guilt of sin, maybe free from the power of sin, but you are not free from the presence of sin. You are still a sinner. There is indwelling sin within you. And one of the results of this indwelling sin is you're going to die. Even those who are in heaven now, they are not fully saved yet. Salvation will be accomplished and fulfilled after the judgment day, when we will receive a new body, a sinless, spiritual, glorified, spotless body, perfect body. And then when our souls and bodies will be reunited again, our salvation will be completed. It is a reference to eternity, to the time which is to come, to the kingdom of God, when we will be like Christ, says the Apostle John. Then we will be fully saved. Yes, we are already enjoying God's salvation, but we are still in a process of salvation. In sanctifying us, God is saving us. And this salvation will be accomplished in heaven. Only then we will be free from sin. Only in heaven we will be free from all the consequences and awful misery that come from sin. Then in heaven we will enjoy the glory of God's salvation. And all we need for heaven, all we need for that glory, all we need to receive and enjoy that blessedness is Jesus Christ. Jesus said to Nicodemus, that famous verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The only way for us to have eternal life, the only way for us to be glorified, to be like Jesus, the only way for us to enjoy the glory, blessedness, pleasure of heaven is Jesus. You can never make yourself glorious. You can never transform yourself and make yourself more like Christ. You will never deserve heaven. You will never deserve the glory which is to come. All you need to receive that is Jesus Christ. None but Jesus. Lastly, all we need for satisfaction is Jesus. Christ is our all in all. Christ is all we need to be happy. The only way for us to have an unspeakable joy and full of glory, says Peter, is in Jesus. It's not in a better car, in a better job, in a better house, better health. What will give us joy without end is Jesus Christ. To have him and all the benefits that come with him is all we need to be happy. And the reason why we are not as happy as we could be, I'm not talking about laughing here. True happiness, contentment, joy. You know when you're happy. I don't have to tell you. I'm not talking of a nice evening with friends. I'm talking of that resting happiness within us. That joy comes only with Christ. The things of this world will never give us that joy. We try to get that joy with the things of the world. We try to buy a better car, a better Macintosh, a better something, but it won't work. You can buy a nice camera, and after 3 months, it's old. We need a better one. You have a job and you're very excited at the beginning, but after a couple of years you start to be fed up with that job. You wish there was something more. You buy a new house and you think, oh, this is the best house I will ever have. And then after a few months you start complaining. I wish there was something else here. But to be really satisfied, content, and happy, all we need is Jesus. All we need to have unspeakable peace, a peace which passes all knowledge, is Jesus. It's impossible to have peace in our hearts until we have Christ ruling in our hearts. Only Christ can give us peace. His presence, His work, His grace, His fellowship, His law, His love. The only way for us to rest, really, from all our works, from all our troubles, is in Jesus. And you have experienced as a believer in hard days and difficult days that only fellowship with Christ would give you comfort and peace. There was nothing in this world that would give you peace. Everything around you was terrible. You were in a storm. Your friends failed you. Your church failed you. Your family failed you. And yet in Christ, you had peace. He was your high and strong tower. He was your rock and fortress. He was all you need for peace. All you need to be satisfied is Jesus Christ. What will fill your life with joy and peace and love is Jesus Christ. He will give meaning. He will give a sense to all you have and all you enjoy and all you live in this life. Without Christ, this life is meaningless. Without Christ, your life is like the life of a beast, like the life of a dog or a cat. It's here for a while. It drinks, and then he dies. Without Christ, everything is vain. But with Christ, everything gains a meaning. With Christ and Christ alone, we have true satisfaction. So all you need for your life, here in time and for eternity, is Jesus Christ. And the only thing I can do as a minister is commend to you Christ and Him crucified. The only thing I can give, the only advice I have for you again, like last Sunday, is to get Jesus, to have Christ, to receive Christ, to plead for Christ. Don't ask for feelings. Don't ask for experiences. You need Jesus. So you ask God, give me Jesus. Because if you don't get Jesus, you die.